At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
The blood washed away, but the guilt never does. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring psychotherapist and author Siobhan Scott.
From the very beginning, the Richard Allen case has felt like a masterclass in how not to handle a criminal investigation. Missteps, questionable ethics, and a seemingly blind rush to judgment have left this trial riddled with doubt. Regardless of Allen's guilt or innocence, what stands out most is the sheer level of investigative mismanagement that has turned this case into a circus, one where prosecutors seem more focused on theatrics than presenting a rock-solid case. Consider this. You have confessions made under highly questionable circumstances. Forensic evidence that's been called into doubt by experts on both sides in a timeline of events that, quite frankly, feels like it was put together with duct tape and wishful thinking. Take, for example, the new bombshell from the defense about Libby German's phone, a headphone jack mysteriously plugged in hours after her disappearance when she was supposedly already dead. And the phone's there with her. It's a detail that throws the prosecution's timeline into complete chaos, raising the haunting possibility that the girls may have been alive longer than we've been told, or that someone else entirely was involved after their deaths. And yet, the prosecution has offered no explanation. None. It's like they're hoping the jury will just kind of gloss over it, forget about it. And then there's the matter of Richard Allen himself, his confessions, hailed as the smoking gun. Well, they're under heavy scrutiny for good reason. Psychiatrists testified that Allen was in the throes of a psychotic breakdown brought on over a year of solitary confinement. It's understandable. The defense paints a picture of a man mentally broken confessing to crimes he may not have committed just to make sense of the chaos in his own mind. You got to ask, how much weight can be put into the words of someone who, by the expert's account, couldn't even trust his own reality at the time? Remember, eating the feces, all of that. But it does not stop there. The defense has also gone after the state's forensic evidence, particularly the unspent cartridge found near the girls' bodies. The prosecution claims it matches Allen's firearm. Defense, they brought in their own expert who flat out rejected the methodology used by the state, calling it unreliable at best and comparing apples to oranges. This isn't just a technicality. It is the backbone of the state's case. And now, that too is riddled with doubts. What we're left with is a case that feels more like a procedural drama gone off the rails, a small-town investigation seemingly blindsided by their desire to close this horrific case. Let's now put the justice system under a lot of spotlight. The jury is left to navigate a maze of conflicting evidence, questionable tactics, and gaping holes in the prosecution's narrative. Will they see through the smoke and mirrors, or will the weight of the crime itself push them towards a conviction, despite the doubts? Joining me to discuss, Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author. The whole case of Richard Allen, we look back on it, and it's just one misstep after another. I mean, there's just so many things that were not done right or ethically in this entire case. Take his guilt or innocence out of it. It's like, could you guys have done a worse job at handling all these things? And what got me about the trial so much was how they were so gung-ho to go into this, knowing the stuff was going to be presented publicly and thinking it was going to be effective or powerful, or that no one was going to go, the hell were you doing? Like, none of this was by the book. None of this, like, really adds up. Is that, I mean, was that a product of just kind of a group think where everybody in this small town, they thought they had their guy. They're all kind of working together on this with the prosecution, and they're just la, 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 la. We're not going to hear anybody mm-hmm. else's input mm-hmm. And just plowed forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the sentence that pops into my head is just not very smart.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a lot of people that just rubber stamp this without looking at the whole picture. And yeah, I'll add, is there still a possibility he did it? Sure.
Yeah.
But do we have reasonable doubt? Hell yeah.
No, a lot, a lot. Another big point that was made here in the trial of Richard Allen, beyond the mental health standpoint, this is right at the very end. And I think it really puts a big question mark into the case of the prosecution. Who put the headphone jack in Libby German's phone 5 hours yeah. after her disappearance? There was already the question that the phone became active after the girls were supposedly already dead, according to the official timeline. This shows somebody was using the phone with a headphone jack. And the phone's found by the bodies. So, I mean, that opens everything up. I mean, it could have been the girls if the timeline was simply off on their death. I mean, if they were entrapped somewhere and she had her headphones, she could have easily stuck them on her head. It's a weird one. Like, why would somebody grab her phone and walk around with headphones? Like, that just doesn't make a whole lot of sense in any of this. But it happened, and it's a digital piece of evidence that the phone's not just going to make that up. So mm-hmm. something happened there, and mm-hmm. the prosecution has presented zero idea on how that happened. Mm-hmm. It's almost as if it didn't happen, but mm-hmm. we know it did. How do you think that's going to play to the jury?
I am, you know, sometimes I'm surprised by what juries do, but this is just one of the weirdest cases I think we've seen. You know, we see a lot of horrible cases. This one is horrible, but it's also got so many weird elements to it
yeah.
that just at this point, from what we're seeing, they don't make sense.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's just another strange piece that it's hard to create a scenario to understand it.
This, it's kind of legally, but I'm not asking for the legal answer to this question. I'm asking more so if someone came to you as a saying, I need an expert witness on this, where if he's found innocent and they go, oh, he wants to sue the shit out of everyone now. how good of a case do you think he has in terms of psychologically what was done incorrectly? I know you used the word malpractice there. Do you think that this would be a pretty strong case for just horrible, wrong treatment where they would be found very, very wrong and owe a lot of money if he's acquitted on this or found innocent?
Yeah, I as you say, it's legal. I don't know that's an option to sue, but ethically,
yeah,
I would certainly encourage that if it were an option.
There was the thing that comes to mind would be the case of To Catch a Murderer, I believe is what it was called. One in Wisconsin, Manitowoc County. I can think of Brian Dassey, the nephew. I can't think of the guy's name at this moment in time. He went to prison for another murder prior to the second one. And they found out, no, it wasn't the guy. And then he sued mm-hmm. and won a lot of money from Manitowoc County. And then suddenly, mm-hmm. surprise! Mm-hmm. We think you did a different murder. And that mm-hmm. was another one with a lot of questionable evidence as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that Reed interrogation technique with the nephew. Mm. I mean, we got to watch that in the documentary, which was just horrifying the way that kid was manipulated.
Yeah.
So
Making of a Murderer was the documentary. Stephen Avery. There we go. It was going to bug me until I could think of his name. I'm from up there, so I remember some of that going on back in the day.
Really, really well done documentary that went into so much detail about what went wrong with that.
Yeah, without a doubt. Fascinating case. We'll see where the jury takes it. If this is, maybe we're at a conclusion and maybe Richard Allen can try and have some semblance of a life. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're neck deep in a dark, twisted tale. And just as the tension peaks, bam, a commercial about some miracle diet pill breaks the spell. It's like finding a fly in your soup after the first bite. But here's the fix. True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. You get to enjoy your crime stories without the junk, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that go beyond the surface, and early access to all the gruesome details. It's like swapping out a can of cheap beer for a glass of fine whiskey. So search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and keep the darkness flowing uninterrupted.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.